This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no pork eating American lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
Doing great, Vito. Good to be here as always. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Doing well. And, hey, give a shout-out to Sue from New Mexico. She, poor thing, she got COVID again. So she's recuperating. Oh. She's feeling okay. It's not as severe as the last time she had it, but she got hit again with it. So keep her in your prayers, please.
Yes. Good luck. Take your quercetin, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, vitamin C, boron.
I take zinc as well. No, it's good. Zinc. And zinc, right?
Zinc, yeah. Of course. Zinc is a good one, too.
Yeah. So we always start off with some little PGA news. So they had a couple of tournaments this weekend. One was the Barbasol Open, and it's the last tourney to qualify for the British Open. I should say the Open. And it's a great tourney for guys who have not won or have not yet qualified for the Open. And 30-year-old Trey Mullen extolled the Barbasol Open from Kevin Streelman on the 18th hole, on the 72nd hole, the 18th hole on Sunday. I don't know if you had a chance to watch it, but it was really good. It came down to the wire. Kevin Streelman was flirting back and forth, tied for the lead with I can't call him rookie, but a man who's never won, Trey Mullinex. And Trey, I've seen Trey's name up there at the top. He also won a national championship, I think, when he was with Alabama, University of Alabama, and he was instrumental in winning that. I think he eagled on the last hole to give Alabama their national championship. But it came down to the 72nd hole. Streelman birdied 17 to tie Mullinex. And on the 18th hole, they both hit really good drives. Streelman is first. He's a shorter hitter. He knocks it to like 10 feet. I mean, what a shot. Now, Mullinex is coming in from a sort of a different angle. He's a little bit closer to the green. He hits a shot to the right side of the pin. I mean, if this thing bounces hard at all, it goes down, it goes over the green, down the embankment, and into the water. He takes on the pin on the short side of the pin, on the short side of the green, knocks it to 12 feet, 14 feet, gets up there. It's right against the collar. The ball is right against the collar, and he drains the putt. Now, so now he's got a one-shot lead going over, you know, Kevin Streelman. Nobody else can catch these two guys. Streelman has a testing 10-foot downhill putt, and he played it to break, and it did not break. He searched the hole, and boom, Trey Mullinax, 30-year-old, stole the Barbasol Open from Kevin Streelman with a birdie, and he walks away. The winner with his first win on the PGA Tour, final round 66, wins by one shot. He gets his first PGA Tour victory, but he also gets his first entry and earns a spot into the British Open this week, and that is awesome. His approach on 18 was absolutely amazing. It was gutsy, and the guy just showed that he wanted to win, and so it was really cool to watch that yesterday afternoon. So it looks like a day of golf.
Yeah, I caught a little bit of it. You know, I was watching more of the PGA Tour champions, the old guys. I found that much more interesting.
Wasn't that cool?
I tell
too?
You that. Oh, Kelly Stricker Els and Alker out of nowhere it was phenomenal golf to watch.
Yeah,
these guys can really play, and Kelly just had a fantastic 4 days. It's great to see. And Ernie Els, I love Ernie Els. I think he's got the best swing in golf. He's always enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, and you know, isn't it funny? You watch everything Steve Stricker, Ernie Els. You know, they like Jerry Kelly. He's he certainly doesn't have as many wins as both Stricker and Els. But all of a sudden, Kelly takes charge of that tournament. He's got a two-shot lead going into 18. I mean, it was great. It really was. And it was not an easy course either. That's a tough course.
Oh, yeah. And then, but Alker is the big story. He's a good player.
Yeah.
Just, he played out of himself and very well. So that was good to see. Hopefully he'll be around at the top of the leaderboard for quite some time. But, yeah,
I just want to say, Alker is having a great year, and he's also leading the money list. He has a commanding lead for the Charles Schwab money list. This guy, he couldn't win and he couldn't make it to the PGA Tour, but he found something, and he found a rejuvenated youth, and he's already got two wins, I think, on the PGA Champions Tour. And it looks like, you know, he could capture the Charles Schwab Cup this year. He's just playing absolutely fantastic.
Yep. And for those who don't know, the Champion Tour is for men who are 50 or older. So it's us old guys, a place for us to go. They wanted me to play, but I was busy that weekend. And
oh, were you? Oh, that's just too bad.
Well,
that
actually,
really
they
stinks,
said they said my handicap was too high. They chuckled, and they hurt my feelings. But maybe next week.
There you go. Maybe next week. That's right.
Yeah. Maybe I'll find myself and play
better
golf.
There you go. I think you're right. I think you're onto something.
Yeah. I'll find myself. After the show. Right after the show, I'll go find myself. I hope I don't get lost.
Well, a man who found himself this weekend was at the Genesis Scottish Open was Xander Schauffele. Schauffele played absolutely fantastic. The Scottish Open is usually like the warm up to the British Open, where you play on a links style course. Many of the top of the world players, including most Americans who already qualified for the Open, will play there, and it gets them warmed up for next week. Justin Thomas was there, world's number one Scottie Scheffler, but America's Xander Schauffele took over the tournament and pulled out to a two-shot lead going into the 18th hole yesterday afternoon and hung on. He did bogey the 18th hole to drop from 8-under to 7-under, but it still gave him a one-shot victory, his second PGA Tour win in his last two starts. Xander Schauffele has found something. He's learned how to close the door with a 54-hole lead, and now he's off to St. Andrews to compete in the Open, and he's certainly one of the hottest golfers in the field, along with U.S. Open winner the UK's Matthew Fitzpatrick. And I think both of those gentlemen are probably playing the probably playing the best golf of anybody that's in the field, although anybody can win at St. Andrews, but to be at the home of golf and to have riding this wave and playing, dominating a links-style course this past weekend, I think is a good sign for Xander Schauffele. He just needs to – he gets that first major, and I think that he's on to something. So good for him.
Yeah. Well, he did fall behind by one stroke and then got it together. This is on the on the back nine. No, it was on hole six or seven. He fell behind by one stroke, and then it looked like the end. Most people would have just given up, but no, he didn't. He persevered and ended up winning the tournament because he stuck with it. There's a lot of life lessons in that victory.
It certainly was, and it's really cool to watch. He's got some game. He can putt. And it's, you know, there's an art to playing links style courses, and not many American players can do that. And I think like there are some guys that just, I don't think their game suits it. And one of them is Justin Thomas. You know, I think he's going to have a hard time, but I could be wrong. He could get his second, major victory. And, but it the Euros know how to play the links style courses. And so kudos to Xander Schauffele for doing what the Euros do quite easily, I think.
Well, the Europeans, they're goat tracks. They bring their goats out to cut. it's really amazing because they bring their goats out to cut the fairways. They've got 50 goats in the stable instead of mowers. Did you know that? And they bring the goats out to cut and trim. I kid you not. This is for real. This is what they do in Europe. This is why Americans, you know, it takes us a – we may win them every now and then, but, yeah, and it's a little tough because we're better used to more quality courses with grass and grain and greens. I don't know. They got the big old potholes, though, the pothole bunkers. You seen those?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Yeah. Those things are something else, man. In the middle of the freaking fairway, boom, all of a sudden a pot bunker. Oh.
Yeah, I think they're left over from World War II when the Germans were dropping bombs on the golf course. I think that's where the pothole bunkers came from, and then they just dug them out, put some sand in them. And I tell you, you could be 150, 200 yards out. You get in one of those pothole bunkers that are literally no bigger than a full swing practically in some cases and deep.
Deeper's
taller than me, and I'm 6'2" sometimes, and it's taller than me. And when I'm not, I'm 5'9", but hey.
I was playing in this golf tournament, and it was one of the first times I played a links course, and it was a replica of St. Andrews. And I birdied a hole, so now I'm leading off the next hole, okay? So it's a par four, the dog leg left. I'll never forget this. I pipe this drive right down the middle of the fairway. It's a little bit downhill. The other two guys in the group, they go dead left. They're aiming left, like in this field. It's like you're aiming for the rough. What the hell are you doing? I just piped a drive right down the middle of the fairway. So they hit it left, and they got a short into the green, and it's a little bit of a rough area. I go down to the center of the fairway, and I look, and it's a freaking pot bunker right dead center in the middle of the fairway. I've got 120 yards to the green, and I can't get there. I can't. I have to take a sand wedge out and just hack it out, you know, loaf it up there. I end up making par, luckily. I don't know how I did, but you're right. 120 yards out, I could not get to the green. There's just 135 out. Yeah, it was like, whoa. I had to take a sand wedge out. Guy gives me a sand wedge. I take a sand wedge. I just pop out, and then I pop it on the green. Luckily, I make the putt. But I wondered why these guys were going left. It's like, I'm going, what are these guys, nuts? I mean, the fairway is this way to the right, and they're looking dead left into a rough area, and they – So it pays to have knowledge about a course. So
that is true.
Little ladies, Wimbledon on Saturday. Saw number 17, Elena Rybakina of Kazakhstan versus Ons Jabeur of Tunisia. Jabeur was the first Arab woman to make it to the finals of the women's Wimbledon. Elena Rybakina, number 17. She defeated Ons Jabeur, and I got to tell you, What a tournament. I mean, what a round. I don't know if you got to have a chance to see it on Saturday, but I got to tell you, Rebekina was toast that first set on Saturday. It looked like she was going to be done and she was going to get walked over, and she lost the first set pretty easily, but then that she took the next set and she coasted, man. She was like, she actually not coasted, but she really took care of Ons Jabeur, who was noticeably disappointed at the end. But it was the first major or Grand Slam victory for Rebekina, who just played absolutely fantastic. So congratulations to those ladies. I'll tell you, that was a really, you have a chance to watch it. It was very entertaining, and they were just very, very talented. And then yesterday, Novak Djokovic.
Keep in mind, too, that she was also the first Kazakhstanian winner of a Grand Slam singles title from Kazakhstan. Who knew they even had tennis courts in Kazakhstan?
They've got the one in Kazakhstan. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Does ISIS let them play tennis? I don't know. But that's quite an achievement, so.
Well, for Tunisia, too, I'm very surprised, and she's not playing with a hijab, but, I'm surprised that they let her play. It was very good. I got to say, it was very entertaining. It was fun to watch, and they were very, very good. And then Sunday, Novak Djokovic took on Nick Kyrgios.
Djokovic. Man.
Yeah. But Djokovic was seeking his seventh Wimbledon and his fourth in a row at the All England Club. And I'll tell you, Djokovic didn't disappoint, did he? He beat Kyrgios in four sets, 4-6, 6-3, 6-4. And the last set did battle to win 7-6. And it was the 21st Grand Slam victory for Novak Djokovic. And it was his seventh Wimbledon title. So congratulations, Novak, man. He's, they say the controversial win. It's like there was nothing controversial about it. Jeez.
Why did they say controversial? Because he didn't get his COVID shot.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's why it was controversial. Oh, okay. So
and
he had no chance of getting myocarditis.
He may not be able to play in the U.S. Open, by the way, because I heard a blurb about today. That'd be very, very sad if they do not let him into the United States to play in the U.S. Open. That would suck.
I thought all those rules were gone. I thought we were done with all that.
I thought so, too. So maybe I misunderstood. So,
because I got relatives coming in from a different country, and they have – well, they're all – yeah, never mind. They're all shot up, so they had nothing to worry about.
Hey, speaking of shot up, this is worth talking about because, you got to love the woke crowd. The woke crowd, they can't stand America. They don't stand for the national anthem because, the woke crowd tells you that America's flag stands for racism. The Star Spangled Banner is racist and all that other noise. But these prima donnas who play sports, think that and the NBA, WNBA, and soccer, they all think that they're better than the United States, and they forget exactly where, in fact, who gave them the opportunity, to play a sport, a child's game, and get paid for it. So, if you haven't heard, Brittany Griner is a WNBA star. She goes to Russia to play, goes to communist Russia. And she brings with her some drug paraphernalia, some drugs. So because marijuana is legal in the United States and because you're an athlete, you should be above the communist laws. Well, guess what? The communists don't care if you're black, white, red, yellow. Yeah, exactly. And so the woke crowd thinks that they can take their wokeness with them to around the world, and everybody has to genuflect to their wokeness. Well, Brittany Griner is finding out firsthand how bad the United States really is and how oppressive it is, because she's now been found guilty and could actually get he's sentenced to up to 10 years in a penal colony. And I find it, isn't it funny, you know, a gay woman going to a penal colony. Anyways, so she can, she can find herself 10 years in a penal colony. And so these wokeness now are saying, boy, if this was LaJuan James, this wouldn't happen. No, you know what? The communists don't care who you are. See, the communists don't care about the wokeness. You can wear the color of your skin on your sleeve. You can talk about you're gay. You're the first gay, white, black, you know, hermaphrodite to go into to Russia. But if you break the laws in a communist country, the communists dictate policy. Not you, not your wokeness, but the communists do. So, you know, you may be able to smoke your dope in America because it's legal in Colorado or in 18 other states. But guess what? Guess what? The communists don't care because now you're on their land. Okay. You're in their country. You play by their rules and they don't stand for these rules. So whether you're LaJuan James or, you know, you're Brittany Griner, you're going to pay the price because you broke the law. And so you got one of the coaches now is lamenting, or somebody lamented, I think on Twitter that, well, because she only makes $220,000 a year, she had to go outside the country to make more money. Only makes $220,000 a year. You know, she chose to go there. Okay. And she chose, you know, this particular path. So, you know, stop with all this money nonsense and the fact that she's only making $220,000 a year. You know what? She could have got her college education at Baylor and became, you know, get into a different profession, but she chose because of her talent to play basketball. So, you know, enough of this noise that, well, she had to go to Russia. Well, then she should have played by the Russian rules. Okay? This isn't the woke crowd, stupid asses.
You know, former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson is planning to travel to Russia in the near future for talks aimed at finding a deal to free Brittany Griner, a source with knowledge told ABC News. Now, he's expected to go in the next couple of weeks to get her released or to trade her out for a Russian prisoner. And she said that she
– Why?
First she said she'd like to plead guilty to the charges – I guess she had to plead guilty. And she's saying she had brought the vape cartridges into Russia unintentionally, explaining she had not meant to leave them in her bag. Bullshit. And the Biden administration classified Griner as, quote, wrongfully detained. And American officials believe Russia seized her like Whelan and Reed to use as bargaining chips with the U.S. And Whelan and Reed were eventually released after 2.5 years. So they're sending over Bill Richardson to get her out, and then she's lying about why she even had the drugs in her bag, even though she pled guilty. She said it was unintentional. Give me a break. I hate when people lie like that.
Yeah, by the way, it was hashish. Thank you, Roger, corrected me. It wasn't marijuana. It was hashish. Yeah, you know what? She made it through customs, didn't she? She went through customs with the vapes. You know, she should have realized it. And you know what? She probably just thought that she was above the law. And so I'm sorry. Yeah. It's not like, you know, she got caught with a handgun, which you wouldn't have got through anyways. But, you know.
Yeah. Well, they want now to trade her for they want to trade her for Victor Bout, B-O-U-T. He's serving a long-term sentence in a U.S. prison, and Russia wants to trade him.
Ah.
And he's a pretty bad dude, I believe.
Well, then the gay, the LGBTQ or STQFY community should be extremely happy about that because here they are. It's a black woman for a Russian white male. So, you know, look at that. The value's there.
Well, forget the race. Listen to what this guy did. Victor Bout, he's the trade for Griner. Frankly, they should keep both of these a-holes in jail. Bout, who's 55, he was sentenced to 25 years in federal prison in 2012 after he was convicted of selling arms to Colombia rebels, which prosecutors said were intended to kill Americans. The Russian government's been demanding his release ever since, saying he was unfairly targeted.
unfairly.
Even Eric Holder.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, even the Marxist Eric Holder called Bout one of the world's most prolific arms dealers.
Well, there's an
even
trade,
I don't think that sounds like a fair trade. No, we get a hash head for a someone who wanted to kill Americans. I don't think that's – I think Russia's going to get the better end of that deal. But if she pled guilty, I think that's the writing on the wall.
Yeah, and plus it's – you know, it's two – basically you don't lose anything because you have two – you're trading one America hater for another America hater. So, you know, what a deal.
Mm. Disgust me. It's disgusting.
It really is. It is, Al. It is absolutely,
I mean,
disgusting.
We make light of it. Yeah, we're making light of it. Mm-hmm. But when you really look at this trade and what happened and who these people are, you have Griner, who, like you said earlier, hates America, took a knee, despises us. She's a Marxist. She's a big Black Lives Matter person. She's a Marxist, and she hates America. But now she loves America to get her the hell out because her precious communist Russians hauled her in jail for breaking the law, and that they're not giving her the get-out-of-jail card that she would get here in the States just for being black, which I think is kind of ironic.
Yeah.
And
so what do you take from that,
anyway,
then? With the Marxist movement, you know, in America, they absolutely don't really understand Marxism because the first persons that they threw in jail in Russia was a Marxist of color who broke the law with drugs.
Yeah.
Jeez, there's your utopia.
Yeah, and what these idiot Marxists here in the United States don't seem to understand because they don't know history is that Lenin and they killed millions of their own people for political reasons. Now, the Marxists and communists here in the United States are useful idiots because they're not real hardcore communists or Marxists because they live here. They still like the freedom, the liberty. They like grocery stores that are full. They like America, but they are not true communists, kind of like Griner. She's a wannabe, and they know that, so they're just useful idiots to the Marxists and communists from communist Russia. So when the time comes and they destroy our republic, they're the first on the chopping block. Idiots.
Well, you know something, Al? On June 1st of 2023, Joe Obama, Biden, will be announcing the Medal of Honor, a Medal of Freedom Award winners, and Brittany Griner will be getting off the plane from Russia on May 31st. And then on June the 4th, June the 5th, they'll transport her to Washington, D.C., and Joe Obama Biden will give Brittany Griner the Presidential Medal of Honor. Well, Freedom, excuse me, Medal of Freedom.
What, did she do the same thing Rapinoe did? The soccer player?
Well, I mean, here's the woman she spent, come on now, she spent, you know, 2 years in Russia, and, well, a year and a half in jail in Russia. I mean, that's a Medal of Freedom, right? Oof. 6 months from now, Griner gets Medal of Freedom from Biden. There you go, Holger.
Boy, I could think of a list a mile long before these two Marxist America haters getting that prestigious award. They just sucked all the prestige right out of that award.
Well, and that's what Biden does. I mean, you know, let's face it. He's, you know, another America hater, and the guy despises the Constitution. And hey, so there were a couple notable deaths this past week, and here's a clip from The Godfather.
100 button men on the street, 24 hours a day. That Turk shows one hair on his ass, he's dead. Hey, Mike, come here. Let me look at you. You look beautiful. It's gorgeous. Hey, listen to this. The Turk, he wants to talk. You got you. Imagine a nerve on his son of a bitch, eh? Craps out last night, he wants a meeting today. What did he say? What did he say? But a beep, but a bap, but a boop, but a beep. He wants us to send...
Beep, beep, beep. James Caan, who made the role of Sonny Corleone in The Godfather, as IMDb says, a masculine and enigmatic actor whose life and movie career have more ups and downs than the average roller coaster, and whose selection of the role has arguably derailed him from achieving true superstar status. James Caan passed away at the age of 82, I believe. Yes, 82 in Los Angeles, California. I tell you, you know, there weren't many movies, but two movies stand out. The Thief, three movies, actually. The Godfather and Elf, where James Caan, you know, but he had many others. I think Rollerball was one of them as well. So he had a list of movies. He was a funny guy. He always played a kind of a tough guy, and always remember him as Sonny Corleone, even though he wasn't Italian. Okay, I guy, he wasn't Italian. he was good. I loved him as Sonny Corleone. It was really good. And the other notable death, if you were a Sopranos fan, and since we're on the Italian kick here, here's a clip.
There he is, the king of breadsticks.
Let's see a breadstick up your ass, come here. Hey, come on, sit down. How's the kid? I called Tony.
He's good, you know. But that's me. He should have stole Camilla.
Some men need wives, huh? They want to shit, want to scratch your ass.
Who needs them, eh?
What can I do for you, Paul?
I got a guy. I think you may have run into him. Guy the name is Sal Vitro. Does my aunt's grass. He says your nephew's moving into his neighborhood, Franklin Parkway.
His neighborhood?
He's been working there since back when I lived there, even. Anyway, I'm here putting in a word for the kid. So do me a favor, eh? You and your nephew over there, lay off.
Hey, it's good.
No.
You know.
So that was Tony Sirico. He was known as Paulie Walnuts on Sopranos. That was also Robert Loggia, the great Robert Loggia in that clip. But Tony Sirico, age 79, passed away. He was best known for his Paulie Walnuts character in Sopranos. He had a way about him. He died in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, obviously. Well, he was probably at the, the Diplomat Hotel down there, eh? The Fountain Blue. He was originally from Brooklyn, New York. Had a lot of movies onto him as character actor, but he was best known for Paulie Walnuts Gualtieri on The Sopranos. And he always had like a pinky ring, and he had a little. He always used his hands, and he looked like a typical Italian. And that was a good one. It was a classic. Thanks, I guy. That was a classic. There was a couple of others, but there was too many F bombs in it. He loved the F bombs, man. Him and Christopher.
Yeah, he played a great character. Wow.
Did he?
In fact,
he really.
Yeah.
Did.
Oh, he was fantastic.
God, that part was made for him, and he played the part beautifully. It's like he was made to be a made guy. He had a way, his talk, his mannerism. You know, he looked like a kind guy. There was one clip where Christopher has to pay for this dinner. And they ran up $1,100 bill, and Moltisanti, Chris Moltisanti, he was mad because he had to pay. And so they're outside. So you got Paulie Walnuts and Christopher outside in the parking lot at night, and they're bickering back and forth. And Christopher's effing this, and you screwed me, and blah, blah, blah. And then the waiter comes out. Hey, excuse me, sir, did you forget the tip? What do you mean I forget the tip? Well, you left me, maybe you didn't realize you left me $16. And it's like, get the fuck out of here. And it's like, what are you talking about? Ah. And so Moltisanti gets mad when the waiter turns around and makes a snide comment. He throws some, hits him in the back of the head. And now the guy goes into compulsion. And it's not funny, but the guy is, you know, the waiter's like, you know, he's like, now he's like, he really did something. Then Tony Sirico takes a gun out and he goes, Christopher, you got to put him out. We got to do something. He goes, bang, bang. Just pulls his gun out of his front, and it just shoots the waiter. So now he's dead. And then they both take off, and they both squeal out in his Cadillac. And it was just kind of funny. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember that scene in it.
Do you?
I'm like, boy, these guys played psychopaths great.
Yeah.
Because the whole show makes you like the criminal rather than liking the good guy, and here's just the waiter, and he got whacked, and I'm like, boy, this is hardcore psychopath behavior. And also with the scene with the lawn guy, they went back and they beat the crap out of the lawn guy that was just a lawn guy doing business in the wrong neighborhood.
Yes.
Yeah. It was at that moment that I realized, you know, I would not be a good mafia guy.
So, and I got to put something in the chat room, which is really cool because Tony Sirico was serving a 4-year prison sentence in Sing Sing, or the prison of New York, when a theater troupe of ex-convicts visited the jail and inspired him to try acting, and now the rest is the history. So,
Really? I didn't know that.
Didn't know that either. That was pretty good. He had the good gangster.
So he was like a hardcore guy, and he goes, "Well, I'll try this acting thing."
Yeah.
And jumped in it. Good for him. I didn't know that. That makes him even more interesting.
Right.
Thanks, I guy. That's good. That's good. Good info.
And he had a real giddy name, Gennaro Anthony Sirico Jr. So that's a good giddy name. Gennaro.
Yeah, that is. He's not Irish. That's for damn sure.
No, not at all. So, yeah. God bless him. May he rest in peace. I like that.
Yeah.
You know what? I think I might go back and rewatch the Sopranos again. That was it was just brutal. Mamma mia. Well, something on a little more serious note. And this is really sad. There was a over the weekend. On Saturday, during a campaign stop, former Prime Minister of Japan, Shinzo Abe, was assassinated. And, you know, very, very tragic when he sensed that it was the former Prime Minister of Japan. And he was also still very influential. And in reading some of the accounts, apparently the assassin actually was targeting Abe because he believed that Abe was instrumental in his mother losing money in a religious sect or something to that, promoting a religious sect where this guy's mother, I guess, lost her money. And so, but they said the security was lax during the campaign stump. And then of course you got national propaganda radio, you know, is railing against Prime Minister Abe because he was considered a right-wing leader. So apparently that's bad. You know, of course, the left-wingers, no matter where you are, you know, they love to chastise even those that are killed because of their politics being right of their extreme leftism. So, but he was shot with a handmade gun.
Yeah. Well, the result of the assassination is that Japan's Liberal Democrat Party-led ruling coalition secured a supermajority in the upper chamber of the country's parliament yesterday in elections held just 2 days after the assassination of former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. So
huge.
His death brought in the Liberal Party, where he was conservative, and that's what he was running for.
And that's a huge turn, isn't it? I mean, you're talking about a supermajority now, and Japan is a country that has the strictest gun laws anywhere, and yet
right.
He was killed by a homemade gun. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, Japan averages fewer than one gun death per 1 million people each year.
Each year,
and it was a homemade gun.
Well, that's just kind of sad because it seems like around the world you have the presidents and the prime ministers are coming under attack. Same with Sri Lanka, the Sri Lankan president, the palace, I guess you could say, or the compound was with protesters had breached the compound, and the president, the Sri Lankan president, took off, and now the Sri Lankan president has resigned. So you got a little turmoil.
That's what a real insurrection looks like.
Oh, there you go. Well, what are you talking about? You know, are they going to hold hearings?
Did you see the video? It was like a million people were rushing the home of the leader, Sri Lanka's top leader, and they ran into the presidential palace, took it over, and he went running out the back door, got on a plane, and off he went. That's an insurrection.
Yeah, yeah. And the people were jumping in the pool. They were using the exercise machines inside the palace. So the presidential palace. So it's man. I mean, now that's a real insurrection.
Yes.
And in UK news, so it looks like Boris Johnson, Prime Minister of Great Britain, has resigned. he's going to stay in power until a new government is selected. And, you know, you may know that Johnson survived a no-confidence vote just 2 weeks ago with regards to holding parties at 10 Downing Street while the rest of the country was sequestered due to the China virus. It's rules for thee and not for me. And so Johnson survives that. But then another scandal hit. Where Johnson appoints a fellow conservative who has a sexual harassment issue or sexual something I can't remember now. Anyways, he said he forgot that the gentleman that he appointed had a sexual harassment. Here it is. Laid out rules of leadership. No. Can't see it. Can't find it. Sorry, my laptop crashed, and so I'm piecing back these stories. So Boris Johnson now is the former Prime Minister of the UK, or will be shortly, and he resigned effective this past Thursday, and in order to save the Conservative Party after something like 50 people resigned from his government, he got the message and he did the right thing and stepped down. I mean, how do you forget when you have your friend or you appoint to a key government position has got a sexual misconduct charges and it's still pending and you forget? I'm sorry, it just doesn't happen. He was a bust anyways, I think. I just thought, you know, but here's another conservative, you know, he's out. And so what's going to happen? You know, who's going to replace him? Will the liberals now take over? It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. What he did is nothing compared to American standards and the Biden family. That's like what? So he appointed somebody who had a little sexual problem. Okay. Mistakes happen. He didn't even do anything, and he still resigned. That's the difference between conservatives and liberal Democrat Marxists. These guys will do anything and everything, the Marxists, and they will deny, deny, deny until the cows come home. Conservatives tend to say, all right, I screwed up. I resign.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, what Biden has done and with the revelations that are coming out, and, of course, the suppressing of the Hunter Biden laptop, which is very, very damning in itself. You know, you have to wonder what the hell is going on in the United States of America. And it's just what we're seeing today and the sanitizing and the covering up of Biden and the Biden crime family is just absolutely incredible. One thing we'll talk about this in a couple of seconds, but I got one more soundbite, and that is the gift that keeps on giving. You know, I used to think, well, not used to think, but here you have you have two imbeciles in the White House, and they're pretty pathetic. You've got brain dead Biden, who reads from a teleprompter, and he reads the cue words. You know, he's reading the teleprompter, and he reads end of quote, and he reads the line, repeat the line that are written on the teleprompter. I mean, this man is absolutely a walking disaster. I mean, it's just one misstep after another. It's one embarrassing moment after another. And the gift that keeps on giving is not just a wicked man, but it's also Kamala Harris. And she had another word salad moment this past week, with a question being asked of her, and she's going to give an intellectual answer. And again, it's unsettling.
I think that, to be very honest with you, I do believe that we should have rightly believed, but we certainly believe that certain issues are just settled.
Clearly we're not.
No, that's right, and that's why I do believe that we are living, sadly, in real unsettled times.
So now she has a verbal... Yeah. So the CBS newsreader, Robert Costas, asked Harris, when you look back, did Democrats fail, past Democrat presidents, congressional leaders, to not codify Roe v. Wade over the past five decades? And then Harris immediately ceased having eye contact with Costa, looks away, and she responds like,
I think that, to be very honest with you, I do believe that we should have rightly believed, but we certainly believe that certain issues are just settled.
Clearly we're not.
No, that's right, and that's why I do believe that we are living, sadly, in real unsettled times.
I think that, to be very honest, I do believe that we should have rightly believed that we believe that certain issues are just to be settled, because I believe that we should very honestly believe, and they called Dan Quayle an idiot. I mean, the left wing in this country absolutely crucified Dan Quayle for putting an E on potato. And this, we have a dimwit who is sitting as vice president of the United States, a stone's throw away from becoming president of the United States. There is no way possible that these two, the dynamic idiots, had got 81 million votes. There's just no freaking way. One man can't stand up, and he can't read a teleprompter, and the other one gives us word salads. I believe that we believe that we rightly believe and certainly believe, and then she's supposed to be intelligent. I mean, I believe that you're an idiot, Kamala Harris. I believe that you're not qualified to be vice president of the United States, let alone dog catcher of the United States. Oh, my God.
Well, Vito, some things are just settled.
and are unsettling as well,
Al. I mean, she's a moron, or else she has no idea about the Supreme Court. And she's a lawyer. And that the Supreme Court does change decisions. It's been this way for 50 years, and they used constitutional law to justify, and it was a 6-3 decision, to justify saying, well, I'm sorry, but abortion, whatever you may think, as controversial it is, it's a state issue, it's not an enumerated power in the Constitution. So it goes to the states to decide that issue. She should know that. Some things
exactly.
Were just settled. Some things were settled wrong. For 50 years, it was settled wrong. And those that were against it had to just suck it up and suck it up for 50 years, five decades, until now.
So
just
you honestly
decide.
You honestly believe that you should rightly believe that you certainly believed that? I mean, is that what you believe?
I believe that to be true.
That's very unsettling since we live in unsettling times.
Well, I stand behind that 100%, and so does the rest of America.
Yeah.
You can take that. You can take that to the bank.
I mean, this is, you know, it's incredible what we're seeing. And what's incredible is that it's not just an acute occurrence. It's a chronic occurrence with these two people. I mean, with both Biden and Harris, it's one misstep after another. And they try to sound intellectual, and they're not. I mean, how do you not you run for the president of the United States, you run for the vice president, and you're named as vice president, running mate, and you don't know the U.S. Constitution. But you have to follow this imbecile. And that's, you know, Joe Biden. You don't know what's going to come out of that buffoon's mouth. And then she tries to sound intellectual, and she comes up with this. I have to be very honest with you, because I do believe that we should rightly believe that we certainly believe. And it's like, what did you just say? I mean, just, it's a yes or no question. Okay? The answer is yes or no. When you look back, the Democrats fail. Democratic presidents, and there's nothing democratic about the Democrat Party, by the way, past Democrat presidents, congressional leaders to not codify Roe v. Wade over the past five decades. Yes or no? And you know what? All she had to say was yes or say no and then leave it at that. But she has to try to act like she's intelligent, and she's nothing but an imbecile. I mean, this is incredible what we're seeing today. And it goes to show how corrupt Washington, D.C. is. It goes to show how corrupt the media is in this country. Because if somebody was that out of touch with reality, that out of touch with the United States of America, that out of touch with the United States Constitution, you know, the media who tries to be the tell-all, like, you know, they're going to tell you and I how to think. They have sanitized these two imbeciles, Biden and Harris, in every way we look at, including the Hunter Biden laptop, including Joe Obama's constant missteps. And of course, with the number of word salads that Harris has had. This is just one of what, five? Just in the last 5 months? And every time she gives some stupid answer to a simple yes or no question, now she's going to be sequestered to the basement. You know, let the dust settle and, you know, get out of sight, get out of mind. Okay. Her handlers, all they have to say is, Kamala, you just give a yes or a no answer. Okay. So when you look back, did the Democrats fail past Democrat presidents, congressional leaders to not codify Roe v. Wade over the past five decades? Well, I think to believe, no, Kamala. Okay. It's a yes or no answer. Okay. So we want you to say yes and then just move on. So the question again is, when you look back, did Democrats fail, past Democrat presidents, congressional leaders, to not codify Roe v. Wade over the past five decades? What are you going to answer? You say, just say no. Just say no. Okay? Just say yes. Say yes. And instead, she's got to give this rambling, half-baked answer. I mean, it just, wow. I mean, we are so in trouble right now with these two individuals. It is unbelievable what they're doing and how they're allowed to get away with being this inept. And the missteps by Biden are just one after another. And Al, God forbid that now you got Joe Obama getting ready to go to the Middle East. He's flying to Israel. He's going to meet with the Israeli prime minister. He's going to meet with the Palestinian terrorist organizations. And then he's going to go to Saudi Arabia. And I'll tell you, I think we all need to hold our breath, because who knows what this imbecile is going to say at these meetings. Because the big man on campus, Joe Obama Biden, likes to be the big man, pound his chest. Now, there's going to be times when the teleprompter will not be available, and he's going to have to be on his own. And this is where he's the most dangerous. And who knows if he's going to start World War III where he's at. I mean, here's a guy, you know, Joe Obama, who during the presidential primaries, during the debates, VP Biden, you know, he was acting tough on Saudi Arabia. Okay, so here is Joe Obama in his own words talking about how he's going to make Saudi Arabia pariah. Except now that Joe Obama is flying to Saudi Arabia, unfortunately, with the title of president, and he's going to be begging, groveling to the Saudis and OPEC for more oil, because Joe Obama intentionally took the United States of America off of energy independence.
Mr. Vice President, the CIA has concluded that the leader of Saudi Arabia directed the murder of U.S.-based journalist Jamal Khashoggi. The State Department also says the Saudi government is responsible for executing nonviolent offenders and for torture. President Trump has not punished senior Saudi leaders. Would you?
Yes, and I said at the time, Khashoggi was in fact murdered and dismembered, and I believe in the order of the Crown Prince. And I would make it very clear, we were not going to, in fact, sell more weapons to them. We were going to, in fact, make them pay the price and make them, in fact, the pariah that they are. There's very little social redeeming value in the present government in Saudi Arabia. And I would also, as pointed out, I would end the subsidies that we have, end the sale of material to the Saudis, where they're going in and murdering children and they're murdering innocent people. And so they have to be held accountable. And with regard to China, we should look, unless we make it clear that we...
Joe, the question was about Saudi Arabia. See, so here you have, at the time, it was then ex-vice president, candidate Biden speaking tough. He's going to make Saudi Arabia pariah. And now he's going with his tail between his legs, and he's going to beg for more oil production from OPEC, because he's made America dependent upon foreign sources of oil. And so you have this bag of wind, the blowhard Biden. And it's exactly what Joe Biden is. He is a blowhard. He likes to talk tough. Remember, he likes to talk tough. Remember, I went to Ukraine, and I told Poroshenko that you got to fire that prosecutor, that special prosecutor, because we're going to withhold a $1 billion loan guarantee, and Barack's solid on it too. And of course, the media went deaf, dumb, and blind. And here again, we have the same thing. In Joe Obama's own words, he was going to be tough on Saudi Arabia. And what did Joe Obama do the first, month he's in office? He takes America off of energy independence, and now we are reliant upon foreign sources of oil. We're going to enrich the Saudis once again, and he's going to go with his tail between his legs. I'm looking out for the American people, and I'm asking them to ramp up their production. You're not looking after the American people. You're a liar, and you're a con man. In the meantime, the same Joe Obama takes 5 million barrels out of the Strategic Oil Reserve and sends it to where? China. And where is the outrage, huh? Where is the outrage by Nancy Pelosi, who at every turn excoriated President Trump, at every turn sought to undermine President Trump, at every turn she maligned President Trump? In the meantime, you have Joe Obama, Biden aiding and abetting the enemy. And now we're talking about sends oil to the very company in which Hunter Biden had ties to in China. And we're not supposed to talk about this, because the media in this country, the DNC state media, is owned and operated by the DNC and covers up one. This is even a gaffe. This is treason. Between he and his Justice Department, between Biden and his Justice Department, it is absolutely evil what they're doing. The American people are suffering, paying $50, $60, $70 more to fill up their tanks. Oh, well, gas went down 10 cents a gallon. Look what Joe's doing to bring it. Bullshit. Gas is still up over 200%. So, what happens is that these frauds like Joe Obama, Biden, they want to establish a new baseline, and take that baseline from $1.89 a gallon and make that baseline $4.30 a gallon. And so gas rises to $4.90 a gallon, and now it's down to $4.75, $4.57, $4.30 in some places. Well, gas has come down. That's absolute horseshit. Okay? Because my gas bill is still $45 more to fill up my vehicle. And if I have to fill up my wife's vehicle, that's another $37 more that I was paying in 2020. So you tell me how paying $50, $60, $70 more, okay, a week, because you have to drive back and forth to work, especially if there's no mass transit. And this stupid ass, this blowhard Biden is going to be going to Saudi Arabia, and he's already sold America out. And now, oh, thank you, boy, 605 in California, 605. But hey, boy, gas came down 10 cents a gallon. Look what Joe Obama's doing. Yeah, he's telling states to do away with their gas tax. A holiday, okay? You know, use the term holiday, okay, so that you can go ahead and you can soft sell this thing and make it sound like you care. And then the federal government will give us a holiday of 18 cents a gallon, as if that's going to do anything. In the meantime, Joe Obama took us off of what? Energy independence. That is a fact. And then the fact is that now we're relying on foreign sources of oil. The fact is that President Trump shored up the strategic oil reserves in America at $20 a barrel. And now you've got Joe Obama, Biden, and Harris undoing everything that President Trump did. They're releasing millions of barrels from the strategic oil reserves, which now becomes a national security issue. But in order to replenish those, Al, you have to do it at $100 a barrel. That means he's costing Americans $80 more a barrel. Millions, now we're talking millions. And not only that, this treasonous SOB is sending 5 million barrels to China. He's sending our oil that we are paying $6.05 a gallon for 89 octane. He's sending it to China, communist China, and sending it to where his son, Hunter Biden, had a business association with. And where is the outrage, huh? Where is the outrage because Joe Obama said it was Putin's fault? Where is the outrage by Nancy Pelosi, who's supposed to be the epitome of keeping a president in check? And she's not doing her job. Because why? She's a fellow Democrat. She's a fellow anti-American. She's a fellow anti-constitutionalist. Adam Schiff for brains is still the same way. Has he said a damn thing about Biden and treason and sedition and the his inability to perform his duty or uphold the United States Constitution? Not to mention how the border is an utter failure by not only by Biden, but by Harris, who's supposed to be the border czar. You know, it's symbolism over substance with these two frauds. But we have a Congress who is in bed, and Congress on both sides of the aisle, by the way. We're finally starting to see some moaning and groaning out of some Republicans who are calling for the impeachment of Merrick Garland. And rightly so. How is he suppressing this? One, he's allowing the Supreme Court justices to be attacked and protest in violation of 18 U.S. subsection, what is it, of subsection 1507, states the following: whoever, with the intent of interfering with, obstructing, or impeding the administration of justice, or with the intent of influencing any judge, juror, witness, or court officer in the discharge of his duty, pickets or parades in or near a building housing a court of the United States, or in or near a building or residence occupied or used by such judge, juror, witness, or court officer, or with such intent uses any sound truck or similar device, or resorts to any other demonstration in or near any such building or residence, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both. Nothing in this section shall interfere with or prevent the exercise by any court of the United States of its power to punish for contempt. And Al, you've got a story of Justice Kavanaugh now. Once again, Justice Kavanaugh being assaulted by the left-wing lunatics in this country. You've got a former prime minister who was assassinated over the weekend. And now you've got the lunatic left who tried to assassinate Justice Kavanaugh. and you have an Attorney General of the United States who is not out there enforcing the law. And Justice Kavanaugh is under attack. Not only that, all and the five other those judges who are deemed to be conservative are under attack by the lunatics of the left. And so what happens if a Bernie Sanders type supporter does attempts to assassinate a judge just like they did to Steve Scalise? What do they say? They're sorry? We didn't see it coming? The law applies to both sides of the aisle. As a matter of fact, isn't justice supposed to be blind? It doesn't mean that the Attorney General is deaf and dumb. It's just that justice is blind. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat, if you're conservative or liberal. The fact is, if you break the law, as written, 18 U.S. subsection 1507, it doesn't mean that the Attorney General is deaf and dumb. And it's exactly what we're seeing today. We're seeing a total all-out assault by the Biden-Harris administration on the judicial branch of government. And nothing's being done. Al, what's the story on Justice Kavanaugh? Oh, you there?
Yeah, we have an activist group called Shutdown DC that's offering a cash reward to people who give them the location of the Supreme Court justices who voted to overturn Roe. Shutdown DC is offering $50 to anyone who gives them the location of the six Supreme Court justices who voted to overturn Roe. Shutdown DC said it would pay the bounty to anyone who shares a confirmed sighting of Justices Kavanaugh, Alito, Thomas, Gorsuch, Barrett, or John Roberts. They'll be paying a whopping $200 if the justice was still in the location where they were sighted after 30 minutes, according to a Friday tweet by Shutdown DC. That's effectively putting a bounty on the justices, not all of them, only six. So they're calling out individual justices for intimidation. And like you said earlier, we can't forget, Kavanaugh, an assassin, was going to Kavanaugh's house who was stopped with a gun, a knife, and rope.
Yeah.
Never heard of. Barely a blip on the media screen. The media covered it for, what, maybe 24, 48 hours, but not with any enthusiasm. They just let it go, put it under the rug. And it's unheard of that a Supreme Court justice was threatened with assassination, with an actual assassination attempt.
Yeah, and how in the world can the Justice Department sit by and allow this to happen when there are laws on the books? Where is this the Speaker of the House demanding that this stop immediately and that the laws be enforced? As a matter of fact, here's something that maybe the Justice Department, Merrick Garland, if he's not aware of it, but if he goes to www.shutdowndc.org, okay, that might give the FBI a little bit of a jump start in finding these people, because they have an account on Twitter, which has not been shut down, by the way. They have an account on Facebook, so the fascists of Facebook has not shut them down. They have an account on Instagram, and they have an account on YouTube. And their idea is to shut down SCOTUS. So now they're offering a bounty on the Supreme Court justices of the United States. And they're openly stating a bounty, and that is in direct violation of 18 U.S. subsection 1507. And where is the Justice Department in enforcing laws and shutting down this radical group? Because their extremists are very dangerous, and their extremists will not only not for $50, but who knows what they will do when an announcement comes in that Justice so-and-so is at a Dunkin' Donuts, okay, getting a coffee and a croissant, and what would preclude some nut job, some extremist, some radical from the radical shutdown DC to take action in their own hands and become judge and juror and executioner, huh? Do you think it's not going to happen with the lunatics on the left? They despise our constitutional republic, yet they want to stand behind and hide behind the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, freedom of speech, but they won't look at any other part of that of the Constitution. So where is Merrick Garland, the Attorney General of the United States, enforcing the laws? Remember, it's Joe Obama that loves to use the term rule of law. It was Barack Hussein Tatoro Obama who loved to use the term rule of law. The rule of law is simply a meaningless slogan. It's a soundbite used by the left wing. And now we have the judicial branch of government that is coming under a full assault, and it's led by the executive branch of government. Incitement to violence. And we're being distracted by the phony January 6th commission that, again, has absolutely been a sham when they pranced out that Cassidy Hutchinson in total hearsay. And yet they're continuing with this ruse. And in the meantime, the real issue in this country is the shutting down of our constitutional republic by the demented Democrat Party, by the destructive Democrat Party. And now they're going after Judge Alito. They're going after Judge Kavanaugh. This is unconscionable what we're seeing in the United States of America, and all led by the extremists on the left side. And that would be Nancy Pelosi, the extremists of Joe Biden, the extremists of Kamala Harris and her word salads. This is not the United States of America that we've witnessed and grown to. These are radicals. These are anti-Americans. These are extremists. And they want to paint the right as being extreme. They want to paint conservatives as being extreme. They despise the U.S. Constitution. And they despise the U.S. Constitution being held up and being enforced. Being enforced because they have nothing else except fear and intimidation.
And wow. It is fear and intimidation. What I don't get, these Supreme Court justices are so smart. And they know the law. Why aren't they telling the Justice Department, you need to shut down this shutdown DC group and all the other groups that are following us around and intimidating us because they're violating the law? It seems like the Supreme Court justices know the law better than anybody else, but they're not taking care of themselves. They're not protecting their branch of government because our founding fathers, in their ultimate wisdom, they created three branches of government. Co-equal branches, and they're co-equal because when one branch tries to take power from the other, they're going to fight like hell to keep what powers are granted to them in the Constitution. And their fighting amongst themselves is perfect for our republic because each branch, it doesn't become like communist or Marxist socialist country. That's how our republic works, but it's not functioning properly because right now the president, the executive branch, is just usurping power from the other branches of government. And a great example of that is this executive order that President Biden signed within 48 hours of the Supreme Court decision.
Yes.
Granting federal money for people to get free abortions or free access to the abortion pill and other things. Whether they're constitutional or not, we don't know, but nobody's really jumping all over and saying how unconstitutional it is.
Yeah, without a doubt.
What's wrong with our side? I expect Marxists to pull this kind of crap and lies because that's what they do. That's their nature. But I don't expect the Republicans to sit there and just take it right up the, the old tailpipe.
The Republicans want to take that high road. You know, they want that perception that, you know, we're going to take the high road, you know, and it'll work itself out. And that's not the point. And see, that's why Donald Trump was so despised, because he saw through the facade of all this. And you punch him in the mouth, he's going to punch you back harder. And it's exactly what he did. The establishment, the uniparty, the unigovernment, they're not used to somebody punching back at them. They're not used to somebody standing up and challenging them because they always think the establishment thinks they're always in control. And it's going to be the same way if there's a red wave in November. You can bet that on December 31st, The Democrats led by Nancy Pelosi will say that the Republicans have to reach across the aisle, and it's important that they be inclusive. Really? So for the last 4 years, this particular body of government, the U.S. House under Nancy Pelosi's control, with Adam Schiff for brains, okay, they have not reached across the aisle. As a matter of fact, there was I was reading something by Senator Rick Scott where in the Senate, the Democrats excluded any Republicans from any type of conversation or entering any type of amendments to a bill. They were totally excluded from any type of discussion. And it happens in the House. The Republicans are excluded from any type. Now, it's the Republicans' fault that there is not someone like a Donald Trump that's in that circle that comes out and says, the Democrats are acting unilaterally. This is a Democrat Party bill. But because the Democrats get one turncoat, well, I don't know, like a Liz Cheney or a Kinzinger, okay, suddenly it's a bipartisan bill, right? It's a bipartisan, because one Republican came over, or a person that identifies as a Republican comes over. But in the meantime, the Republican bloc, okay, anytime that they put forth any type of legislation or any type of amendments, it's summarily rejected without any reason and without any discussion. So why aren't the Republicans speaking out like that? Why? Are they all part of the same system and it's just, well, it's okay? And then, of course, when they're in control, then the Democrats start making demands. Well, you know, you have to be inclusive. Oh, you have to reach across the aisle. Oh, you have to, you know what? You do nothing. You do nothing with the Democrats. You call them extremists as they are. You call them anti-constitutionalists as they are. And they put forth nothing but spending and fear. Okay? This is not a giveaway anymore. We're not giving away any more college tuitions. We're not giving away health care. We're not giving away citizenship. Okay? You have to earn your citizenship. We're closing the border, whether you like it or not. We're not going to put any future Democrat voters in your bag. You know, what you've done to America just in the last 18 months is unconscionable. It's un-American. It's unconstitutional.
So I tell you, I was talking to a conservative friend. He was saying pretty much identical everything you're saying. And he goes, you just wait. You just wait until the Republicans get back into power. They're going to go after all of these people and start throwing them in jail. And then taking them out and getting them out of these positions of power. Oh. They're going to clean house. And I said, you really believe that? I said, what's going to happen is that as soon as midterms, first, the Republican establishment is going to do nothing. We don't want to rock the boat before midterms and risk losing seats. We need every seat we can get.
Right.
I guarantee you that will be coming out of the GOP. I mean, after we win the midterms, which we're expected to do, and then once we get there and we own that and we control it, then the Republican establishment is going to say, no, no, no. Well, first the Democrats are going to go, this is a witch hunt if they say anything cross-eyed about any of the crap that's been going on for the last year and a half. They'll say that it's a witch hunt. The establishment Republicans will stop right there and go, we can't handle or this negative press about a witch hunt. We just need to be quiet so we can win again in 2024 because that election is the most important. Bottom line, the establishment Republicans are going to do nothing.
Agreed.
Period. Because I've seen it over and over and over again for the last two decades. Even going back to Reagan, it was the same way.
Yep, and what will happen is the Republicans will anoint their milquetoast, spineless individual, Kevin McCarthy, as Speaker of the mm-hmm. House. He'll be that soft-spoken, and it'll be, oh, and we're going to work, we're going to reach across the aisle. You know what? Bafangul reach across the aisle, okay? You don't reach across the aisle because what was happening every time you reached across the aisle to the Democrats who were in control, they slapped you right in the face and they laughed at you and they didn't listen to you. But apparently now you have to be, you know, more dignified. Bullshit. you pull it, you absolutely pull a Donald Trump and you shove it right in their faces. We're going to do it this way. We're going to cut government. We're going to cut government spending. We're going to introduce bills, one-issue bills, and we're going to vote on it. We're not going to put together a 3,000-page bill and present it and an hour later ask and tell you how you're going to vote. That's not how it's going to work. It's going to be 5 pages maximum, one issue. Everybody will read it. We will debate it, and you'll vote on it. Imagine if that was to happen. It's wishful thinking because the milquetoast McCarthy, okay, is going to be the next Speaker of the House, according to all indications, and it's going to be the death knell once again of the Republicans. You already had you already had one useless Speaker, and that was with Paul Ryan, who was one of the establishment honks, you know, who despised Donald Trump. Here you had an opportunity to really effect change in America, but you were part of that establishment that doesn't want change, you want power. And now you're going to have the milquetoast, you already have milquetoast McConnell, but you're going to have the milquetoast McCarthy as Speaker of the House. Give me a break. Give me a break.
Yeah, and then going back to the Saudi Arabia visit, that clip that you played was absolutely phenomenal with the Biden quote accusing Prince Mohammed bin Salman, MBS as people call him, for murdering Khashoggi.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if I heard that right, he's blaming this Middle East leader for the murder of Khashoggi, and the Marxists, they make this Khashoggi out to be a saint. You wouldn't know that he was the world's largest private arms dealer. He was worth $4 billion at one point in the early 80s. He was a bad guy.
Khashoggi.
Yeah, he was the biggest arms dealer, hands down, private arms dealer. And I'm sorry, big arms deal like that, they got a lot of blood on their hands.
That big,
and they're
too.
Making him out to be something that he's, and I'm sure he made a lot of enemies along the way. And then all of a sudden he comes here to America and becomes a journalist after he loses all his money. Now, why aren't the Republicans telling the truth about Khashoggi, that he's not the saint that the Democrats like? He's a big arms dealer. The Democrat Party is in love with the private arms dealer. That's what they should have been saying. That's what Rona McDaniel should be saying going up to this visit. But we're quiet. Our side is quiet about this.
But isn't it about the emotion of it, right? Isn't it about the emotion of what happened to Khashoggi? I mean, the brutality of Khashoggi, you know, being one murdered and then, you know, diced up. That in itself is yes, that is extremely brutal. But what, again, it's like the Democrats, you know, they're talking about gun control. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't mean to just wave off this, but this is what, to me, this is the same analogy. Talk about gun control. Oh, we're going to save kids' lives. In the meantime, what has caused this? Okay. What has caused this anarchy that is appearing to have be occurring in the United States? What is it? It's the lunatic left, the destructive Democrat Party, who despises law enforcement. It has been the attack on law enforcement. It's the neuter law enforcement. It's the defund police. It's the Black Lives Matter movement that has caused all this. But in the meantime, in the end, what is the goal? The goal is to neuter the United States Constitution. It's to dismember the U.S. Constitution. So let's look at the attack, okay, and go and prey on the emotion of it, okay? So you prey on the emotion of Khashoggi being murdered, but don't talk about what led up to that and what Khashoggi did as a livelihood. You know, it's John Gotti was a great man, and I can't believe the way the feds absolutely went after that man. Right? I mean, let's face it. John Gotti, what a saint. If he walked down Ozone Park in the middle of the street, I mean, people would be kissing his ring. I mean, he'd go into any store, and he would be treated like a king. But no one talks about how he whacked Paul Castellano and Tommy Bilotti at Sparks Steakhouse, huh? How he engineered that takeover of the Gambino crime family, and how brutal he was.
Hey, that's his business.
I mean,
nothing personal.
Nothing personal. It's all business. I know. Nothing personal. But again, the emotion part of it. Oh, man, John Gotti's a great man. Oh, but he also, the guy who accidentally backed over his son, John Gotti's son, ended up dead, missing, gone. He was put into pieces. No one talks about that. What a great man. Well, John Gotti's my godfather, but, you know. Again, it's the emotion part of it, you know? This is the prey on emotion by the left wing, by the destructive Democrat Party. And like you said, Al, they embrace this arms dealer. They embrace that. Well, I guess it must be fashionable, huh? I mean, you even have Jeff Bezos, of Amazon, coming down on Joe Obama. And the media had to report on it. But for what, 2 minutes? And again, where were the Republicans on this? Why didn't they just, where's Rhoda McDaniel? Why isn't she pouncing on this? We're talking about record inflation. We're talking about record inflation for 40 years, record gas prices. We're talking about a foreign policy debacle, a border failure. And now you're going to send out Joe Obama to the Middle East. And he's going to talk to the terrorists of the Palestinian territory, and he's going to talk to Israel, and this guy is redefining what success is, and nobody's challenging this moron. It's unbelievable what we're seeing. I'll tell you what, you know, may God watch over the United States of America when Joe Obama is out there on his own. Oh my God, it's truly, you know. You have to hold your breath because who knows what this idiot is going to say.
Well, I bet you he's going to give millions to Abbas, give nothing to Israel, and beg the Saudi Arabians for oil when a year and a half the United States, as you said, was oil net producer.
Yeah.
Biden's policies are no more fracking, no more drilling, no more opening of leases, productive leases for oil exploration. And you combine all those, that is raising the energy costs, the price of gas, raising inflation, the cost of everything is going up, all so President Biden can make it more palatable to bring in this Green New Deal, and then from the Green New Deal, fundamentally change the United States of America. He wants that to be his legacy.
That's
pretty
correct.
Simple. Destroy America to build it back up into some utopian dream that doesn't even exist, all with the help of AOC, who doesn't even pay her taxes. Did you know that the tax authority of the state of New York increased their fines were assessed against AOC's defunct children's publishing house by 52% over non-payment? 5-year-old unpaid tax warrant was issued against AOC. Now, granted, the dollar amount is only $1,618, and now it's $2,461, and she's so damn cheap that she won't even pay her tax bill at $2,400. She'd rather
and
fight
she's
it.
She's a sitting member of Congress. She's a sitting member of Congress.
Who wants to raise everybody's taxes.
Yeah. Where is the Speaker of the House? Where's the Speaker of the House controlling her people, huh?
Where's our Speaker of the House? Not yelling at the top of the lungs. Where's our GOP chairwoman, Rhoda McDaniel Romney? Where is she?
Yeah.
Putting out stupid tweets every day. Jesus Christ.
Can't you see
off the Pope?
Milquetoast McCarthy. Well, I see that this is an issue that when the Republicans are in power, we're going to enforce the rule of law. And I think if you, that's the way. I'm sure that's what he. I mean, you know, where is he? You know, with his circle, whether that's 10, 12, 15 people, why aren't they out there? Okay, and getting in the face of the Speaker of the House and stating, why is this allowed? Is it because she's a Democrat? Is that why it's allowed? The rule of law doesn't mean anything because if you're a Democrat, you operate under a different set of standards, like no ethical standards. It's okay to marry your brother. It's okay to defraud the immigration. It's okay to abuse and to obstruct campaign finance laws. And there's no consequences because you don't have command of the English language. And now you don't pay your taxes, but we, the people, are subject to different sets of rules and standards because the elite in Washington, D.C., if you're a Democrat, play by a different set of rules.
And it is a different set of rules because, in addition, AOC, the Internal Revenue Service, has also placed six different federal liens on her company. Get this. For not paying enough money to their employees, which is supposed to be taken out of their paychecks. So she was shorting her workers. And she has six different federal liens to deal with as well.
Well, that's because it's evil capitalism.
In addition to the tax warrants. Yeah.
Al, that's evil capitalism, Al. Come on. The reason why that happened was the evil capitalism caused her to abuse the rule of law and abuse her employees. Like you want me to really be capitalistic? Like my employees work for me. They're employees. They're subservient. Like come on, dude. I got an $80,000 dress that I was able to wear. I'm look at me. Like I'm a congresswoman. I can't live off $175,000 a year.
I think the ticket to that party was like 25, 30 grand, and mm-hmm. she never the in-kind donation is what that is. She should have paid taxes on it. Mm-hmm. She got in trouble for that as well, for being given the ticket but not putting it on her tax return as an in-kind donation.
And that's huge.
And yet,
that's absolutely huge.
Yeah. She blames the Republicans and the evil capitalists, like you said, for doing this kind of chicanery that she does herself. So like a good little Marxist, you blame your enemies for that which you do yourself. And then you deflect all negative news.
Yeah, and in the meantime, Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of UK, is stepping down over forgetting about, you know, revealing the sexual charges, misconduct charges against a friend of his that he appoints. And you've got this person who's evading taxes, who's a sitting member of Congress, and then she defrauds her employees. She screws her employees, and she talks about how mm-hmm. capitalism is bad. As if communism is supposed to be any better? You mean communism doesn't oppress people? Is that what you're saying? Communism
She's
doesn't oppress
her people?
People? That's exactly
hey,
right.
Lenin murdered millions of his people. That's communism. Throughout the history of communism, there's a lot of big, huge dead bodies stacked up all over the place. Lenin, Marx. Marx was a reprobate. Never had a job, drank like crazy. His family died penniless, and he begged money off of strangers and squandered it.
So, what do you think is going to come out of this Israeli trip? And apparently, you've got Bonehead Biden's going to be meeting with the terrorist organizations, so the Palestinian Authority, and possibly Hamas. Although I haven't heard anything about him meeting with Hamas. What do you think? See, the problem that I have with Biden going over to Israel is the fact that Biden has absolutely omitted the term Abraham Accord from his vernacular. And in doing so, and I heard somebody on TV, I think it might have been today, a guy named Fred Flitz, I think his last name is Flitz, had commented on Trump, that they, and he was talking about the Abraham Accord, they do not want to give Donald Trump any credit for any successful foreign policy consideration. So Bonehead Biden now is going to go to the Middle East, He refuses to use the term and acknowledge the Abraham Accord and how positive it is. What possibly could he do, and could he absolutely jeopardize any type of peace agreement and embolden the Palestinians, with regards to, Israel and any type of peace agreement that could – not that there would be a peace agreement coming out of there.
I don't know. I don't think even President Biden can blow up the Abraham Accords, because the Sunni Arab countries are so afraid of Iran that they are teaming up with the Israelis and using the Israelis as their muscle to bomb Iran when the time comes. Because once they become nuclear, these countries, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, they're all afraid to death of the Shia Iranians. So they're not, Biden's not going to be able to blow that up, because there's even a big story that Iran began enriching uranium at levels above 20% at its underground Fordo facility, and
yes,
using the country's most advanced reactor setup, officials revealed yesterday. Analysts said the sophisticated reactors will allow the country to swiftly change between enrichment levels. Now, most commercial nuclear reactors rely on natural uranium enriched with 3 to 5% of fissile uranium-235 isotope. Reactors with 20% enrichment are typically used for research, while weapons-grade material requires 90% enrichment. So they are well on their way, if they're not there already. So I think Biden's just going to go in there and give the give a boss money, so he can send his PLO Muslim terrorists to harass and bomb the Israelis and just make their life miserable.
Well, it's interesting you talk about the Iranians, because I was reading in Bigfoot's Place this past weekend, I think it was maybe Friday, a story at a Gatestone Institute. The EU wants the Iranian nuclear agreement for the wrong reasons. And if you read through that story, and how the Biden administration and the EU are appeasing the mullahs and the Iranian regime. And you aptly pointed out, and rightly pointed out, about how Iran's been enriching uranium, even though that the deal calls them not to be enriching uranium. So they don't care about any type of agreement. But, on one hand, you've got the Biden administration appeasing Iran. Another hand, you have them concerned about, what the Shia is going to do, and Saudi and that relationship. But then you also have Iranian who's funding Hamas. So, Biden is not smart enough to walk this tightrope. He can't even ride a bicycle without falling over. And so, this is a dangerous trip. And I really, God help us on this one. I can't see this guy doing anything positive.
Well, in my opinion, destabilizing the Middle East works to his advantage in the advancement of the Marxism and his liberal world order, whatever the hell that is. This liberal world order needs to have chaos, and he will build chaos in the Middle East. That's what he does. That's what Obama did.
Exactly.
And Trump all of a sudden got the Israelis and the Arabs together, sitting down at the same table. He found both parties were afraid of the Shia Iranians, so he put them both together and said, hey, you guys shake hands and let Israel go over there and bomb them for you. You just give them airspace.
Yeah.
And then you make some money in business, too, along the way.
But
it worked.
But you see what kind of how in tune President Trump was of the situation. Now, you can call that deal making, you call it whatever you want to. But the one thing that Trump was astute about was who the problem child was in the area, who the obstacles were to any type of peace. And who were the obstacles?
Right.
The Palestinians. And so for a year and a half, they put up with the Palestinians obstructing any type of peace deal. So what did Trump do? Trump said enough is enough. We're going to forge peace. And and what did he do? He pushed the Palestinians aside, and they became outcasts. And look what happened. Once he took once he took away the cancer, he was able to forge a deal with entities that we thought would ever come forth. The Saudi Arabians, United Arab Emirates, even Bahrain came into the picture, didn't they? And Egypt quietly signed on. I mean, so, you know, obviously President Trump saw through what the problem was. And now you have, again, Biden was put in place to take everything that Trump did and destroy it. And the only thing that was probably pretty solid in that was the Abraham Accord, which, of course, Biden absolutely gives zero credit to President Trump for, and he's desperately trying to undermine that.
Yep. And the other side benefit is that Trump stopped giving the Palestinians, Abbas and Hamas, money. And also these Arab countries that were funding the Palestinians, once the Abraham Accords became official, they also isolated the Palestinians, stopped giving them as much money as they did before. And then all of a sudden, the Palestinians got to be quiet and well-behaved. And the amount of terrorist attacks went down 80%. There was virtual peace because they weren't fighting the Palestinians. They got isolated by their own people. And then peace rung out. Imagine that.
Imagine that. So you had the President of the United States, President Trump, identified the problem. And in identifying the problem, he was able to rectify the problem. And in identifying the problem, he didn't play the PC game. He didn't all he did was his goal was peace, and he was attaining that peace. On many levels. One, peace with the Arab world, with Israel, and then by virtue of strength, there was peace, you know, virtually peace between the Palestinians who didn't like the idea of being shunned. And he didn't give them $3 billion to rebuild Gaza that was used to build tunnels to enter Israel and to kill Israelis.
Yeah, he should have gotten a Nobel Prize. Hell, Obama got a Nobel Prize with his first 4 months in office, and he didn't even do a damn thing.
He didn't do anything.
Yeah, and meanwhile, reports suggest Iran also stockpiled around 95 pounds of 60% enriched uranium. That's enough to convert into a single nuclear weapon should the country choose to pursue it. So it's getting near crunch time for the Israelis to go over there and drop some of their bunker-busting bombs on these Iranian bastards. Because they're an enemy of the United States, too. It's in our interest to have them whacked and
the
Stone Age.
The only problem is, though, Al, you've got since you've got bonehead Biden taking America off of energy independence, oil exports from Iran have increased from, let's say, from the low side of 100,000 barrels a day to 800,000 barrels a day. So the fact that bonehead Biden took us off of energy independence because of his war with fossil fuel, wanted to take America off of fossil fuel by 2030. Isn't that funny? And that was the 2030, that's the Agenda 30. He's increased by 6 to 7 times the amount of importing of oil from Iran. So if we were to go after any Iranian interest, that could also jeopardize and there would be consequences for the American taxpayer because bonehead Biden has made America dependent upon foreign sources of oil. And quietly, you've got this treasonous bastard, this treasonous regime, the Biden-Harris regime, is aiding and abetting the enemies. And aiding and abetting the enemies to help fund terrorism like he's doing with Iran. Do you think Iran is using that money to feed their people? No, in the meantime, they're supporting terrorism around the world, including, the Palestinians, including what we're seeing in Lebanon, including the tri-country region down in South America. Including the Houthis to fight the Saudis in Yemen. So The destruction of the destructive nature of the Ayatollah Khomeini and his radical theocratic regime is being aided and abetted by Joe Biden and the Biden regime. So you can't really, you know, if you go after the Iranians and Iranian interests, you know, what are the American people going to do? Because this bozo has made America reliant upon foreign sources of oil, including Russia, and Russia's using that money to finance their war against Ukraine, including Iran, which is using those resources now to fund terrorism around the world, including Syria, too, might I say, and to attack Israel. I mean, look what you've done. In the meantime, what did President Trump do in making America energy independent? He took on OPEC, he took on the Russians, and certainly isolated the Iranians to their chagrin.
Yeah.
Not bonehead Biden.
No. Hey, speaking of Ukraine, the war that's off everybody's radar screen, today, or yesterday, at least 15 people were killed, dozens believed trapped in rubble after a Russian missile strikes residential neighborhood in eastern Ukraine.
Oh, yeah, saw that. Whoa. Yeah. So what do you make of this?
I don't know. The news doesn't seem too concerned about it. I mean, the Russians are going to take it. They're going to take Ukraine eventually. And then what? Are their ambitions going to stop there? I don't know. Is it going to lead to World War III with NATO coming in? Is NATO going to come in? Who knows what could happen, but nothing good is going to come of it. I don't know the solution. All I know is that if President Trump was in office, he would have told Putin, he said, look, you do this, and we will bomb the crap out of you like you've never seen before and humiliate you. And I don't think this would have happened under Trump at all.
We know it was
this is an opportunity, a target of opportunity. In fact, I'm surprised China hasn't gone into Taiwan yet.
China's too busy.
Yeah.
Well, China's too busy posturing themselves around the world.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, I would have bet you a sleeve of Pro V1Xs that China would have already gone into Taiwan a month ago.
Well, you know, I was reading at Bigfoot'sPlace.blogspot.com some other stories about what China's doing around the world, and I can't remember the other location, but you know, you've got China is aiding and abetting Iran. You've got some seaports now that China is investing in, and if I find that story, I'll put it out there, but. So you've got China is flexing their muscles, their financial muscles around the world, and nobody's talking about it. You know, the media is absolutely oblivious to what the communist Chinese are doing around the world and, mm-hmm. and where they're posturing themselves on. They're making headways in Africa, in both the eastern and the western coasts of Africa. They're making their way into Australia and New Zealand area. They're also posturing themselves in other seaports globally. And also they're buying up more land in the United States, including, what was it? Smithfield. Is that right? That food processor Smithfield. I think the Chinese purchased that.
They get their fingers into our food supply. They also bought land over near a drone military base. I can't tell you the specifics.
Oh, yeah.
I just
Texas.
Saw the headline. Yeah. I'm not sure where exactly, but and they're mining rare earth metals in Afghanistan out of Bagram Air Force Base. That we gave them.
That's what it was. It was mining of gold somewhere. Where I forgot which you know what? I'm going to try to find it. They're mining gold in a country. And I can't remember. I've read so many stories, but here we go with China got their foot. So why would they go after Taiwan at this point when they're being successful in actually buying up the world and developing, posturing themselves for strategic locations around the world?
Yeah, good point. Here we got Steve Bannon, ex-advisor of former President Donald Trump, agrees to
– Hello?
Steve Bannon, the ex-advisor to former President Trump, agrees to testify to House January 6th committee.
Who? You broke up.
Oh, Steve Bannon?
Oh, yes. Yep.
Yeah, he's agreeing to testify to the January 6th committee. But the January 6th committee is saying that he cannot testify on live TV.
What? So the rotten Democrat Party has orchestrated a January 6th commission, and they used a former ABC news director or ABC TV director to orchestrate this made-for-TV committee. And then Steve Bannon comes along, and suddenly, oh, well, we can't have this aired because, we put Cassidy Hutchinson up there to lie to the American people so that Liz Cheney can look important. But when Steve Bannon comes on, well, we don't want the truth to be out there, so we're not gonna put it on TV for Steve Bannon to have prime time. Oh, what a farce! Doesn't that just goes to show it's a farce. We are being duped by the destructive Democrat Party and the establishment in Washington, D.C., because the establishment is Liz Cheney and Kinzinger and those frauds that have joined in on this January 6th charade. And what does that tell you, the fact that they're not going to allow Steve Bannon on TV? I don't care what he says. And that should have been that should be enough for the American people to know that we're being lied to by Washington, D.C., by the powers to be in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. And we're being lied to by the President of the United States. I don't know if you recall, but he made an outrageous, unverifiable statement telling the story of a 10-year-old girl who was raped and had to travel to Indiana from Ohio to get an abortion. And it was highlighted in multiple media everywhere and used to discredit the Supreme Court justices who decided the Dobbs and pro-life politicians. And that story has not been justified, and I didn't even know that a 10-year-old could get pregnant. But even if it's true, it seems like that story would have been everywhere and verified, but it's until it's verified, it is a lie.
It is a lie. And Biden knows that. But what is it now? Remember, it's about instilling fear, and it's about symbolism over substance, and it's about inciting their base. And it's exactly what Biden is done. He's incites their base, and his extreme behavior is supposed to be taken as mainstream.
Right. And the source of the story is a an abortionist, a very active, ardent abortionist, and the story is unverifiable and peddled by those who share her views with no apparent independent efforts to confirm the tale. And that's kind of like Biden going after the CBP officers. Remember the ones on the horses?
Yes.
That were supposedly whipping these illegal aliens trying to bum rush our border. And then the president goes that they are guilty and we'll come down on them hard, and they will be dealt with harshly. And it ends up they were innocent the whole time, and their careers are now ruined.
It doesn't matter. Hey, he got a special prosecutor fired.
Yeah, and just like President Biden blamed the Saudi leader for killing Khashoggi.
Yeah. Going to sue.
It may or may not be true.
Make them a pariah. He's going to make Saudi Arabia a pariah because this is what the little tough man does. Little Napoleon Joe. He speaks tough, and he's supposed to be this big tough guy, and he's just a blowhard. He's a typical senator. A senator blowhard is what he is, and he's nothing but a liar and a fraud. And you know, God help us that this little man is going to the Middle East and he's not going to have a teleprompter with him, you know, while he speaks. And who knows what he's going to say. And then we got Word Salad Harris, who will probably come out with some other stupid comment after they let her out of her basement this for the next week. They'll suppress her for a while. And then they'll ask her some stupid question, some easy question, a yes or no answer, and she'll try to give us an intellectual, well, maybe during the rationale to be rational. If we were a little bit more rational, we could be rational in rationalizing what was rational. You know, I mean, this is...
And that is a very rational comment, and I get you. I
well,
think we
you.
Just made a connection, you and me. We just made a connect. You connected with me, and I feel wonderful now. Thank you.
Well,
you
I think if we
feel safe.
I tried to rationalize the rationalization of rationalizing what we could rationalize, and I think the more that we rationalize this, we can rationalize what is rationalized.
Yeah, and if you don't get it, you're irrational and a part of the problem. You must be a Republican.
And we can. Oh, it's funny that, you know, we kind of realize what we said. Oh no, it's just incredible. I never thought we would reach this low point. I thought Carter was a low point in America. Carter was nothing compared to what we're seeing today and how dishonest the destructive Democrat Party and the establishment is in Washington, D.C.
Carter is the happiest ex-president on the planet.
That's why he stayed alive.
Ex-president.
He knew if he stayed alive long enough, somebody would surpass him, and certainly that is the case. Because bonehead Biden has definitely surpassed him. Oh, my God. But to surpass us, tomorrow we've got Eric from Kafiristan with the Cross and the Crescent, 6 p.m. Wednesday, you got Hank Jones and Poly Sports, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report, The Cancer of Civilization Jihad, the author. You can pick up your book at Amazon.com or go to Paul Sutliff's website and get your copy. It's a great book, a great read. Friday, Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday. Usually around 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Saturday, we got Minister Simon Duckduck and the beautiful Christie doing their great work revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Eric from Kafiristan's back on Sunday afternoons at 2 p.m. Interfaith Dialogue, the real Interfaith Dialogue with the Cross and the Crescent. And Monday, Alan, I'll be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Other shows to check out on Blog Talk Radio include Annie and Curtis Bennett, Southern Sense Talk Radio, Fridays 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. You got Chief Simple Facts of Life, Tuesdays 3 p.m. Pacific Time. And also you want to keep G-Ski and Dave in your prayers, and that's Airways of America. And they'll be back on the air soon, I'm sure. And G-Ski is definitely feeling better, and that is always good news to hear. So God bless you, G-Ski. And Thursday nights, you've got Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to AudreyRusso.com and check out Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio. She has some great guests on. And if you want a break from politics and Islam, check out the Simone Nicole Show. Joshua does a fantastic job, 8 p.m. Eastern Time at Spreaker.com. If you want a great self-help show, that will do it. As a matter of fact, Gulf Dogs has some great great self-help tips as well and some great supplements and how to eat right and exercise. Have you exercised today? Yes, 3.4 miles today. Al, any other parting shots?
Adios, amigos. Have a great week.
Hey, I want to thank Bring It On Boy, Ducky Northwest. Ducky gets a Mamma Mia because he was first one in the chat room. Gulf Dogs, HOV Radio. Hi, Guy. Nice to see you. Baked Alaska, the Alaskan Boyd, and Sue from New Mexico. And, hey, keep Sue in your prayers, and you get well soon, Sue. We'll talk to you later, too. You guys be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings, and please pray for the United States of America because we need it. God bless you guys.
It was my way.
Good show.
Hey. What kind of
that
fast?
That went fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of lost some of my notes. My freaking computer just went down. I was kind of lost. I didn't print them out.
That computer's been a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I got this laptop, and it's been really weird, and I don't know. Maybe I'm afraid to take it, you know, because... Oh, it's on the hard drive, you know. No, he's kidding. I think it's Hunter's laptop. I'm using Hunter's old hard drive, and it's all full.
Imagine that. I don't know anything. I know nothing.
No, I think I'm going to have to get another computer, I think. Just been fiddle-farting around with it. I had notes on there, and I had links to the other stories, so God dang it. But yeah, you know, I tell you, Al, I really worry about this trip. Jan, I'll tell you, this foreign policy trip with Biden, you know, and the goal is to erase everything Trump did, and irrespective of how good it was and the successes that Trump had. And to not give the man credit because you despise the guy, it's just unconscionable what we're seeing. And I'll tell you, I don't trust this guy. I don't trust Biden a lick. You know, his off the cuff comments about Putin when he was overseas, about going to war with them. You know, just his overall his lack of intelligence. And the fact is that this guy has lost his mind. And again, today he was interrupted during a speech at the Rose Garden. You know, he loses his train of thought. And the fact that they're not that the left wing refuses to identify the problem, but they think by usurping the Constitution, by tearing down the Second Amendment, that's the way that you attain your goal. And obviously it is with the left wing because they're anti-constitutionalists and they do want to, you know, basically dismember the Second Amendment. But, you know, for 6 years now, 8 years, we've heard about defunding the police and the attacks and the assault on law enforcement. And today we're witnessing exactly what the results of that mission is, you know, to neuter police, to defund police and to demonize police. And we're seeing lawlessness and anarchy throughout the United States, especially in big cities. And, you know, oh, well, we got to do away with guns. That's not the issue. That's not the issue. The fact that for the last 100 years, you know, you've tried to exterminate a race, the black race, for the last 50, 60 years, you've taken God out of this country and you've attacked the black race once again. And with your phony caring, like the Civil Rights Act. And what, you know, what we're seeing today, this lack of respect. I mean, you see the videos. People walking into fast food restaurants and destroying the restaurants because they didn't get their fries. I mean, how unstable have they made people? The attack on the Supreme Court coming from the executive branch of government, intentionally attacking the judicial branch of government. I just, this is unconscionable what we're seeing today.
Mm-hmm. Now they got a story breaking. David Yost, the attorney general for Ohio, says there's not a whisper that a 10-year-old child was raped and impregnated. There's been no request for crime lab results, and that Ohio's heartbeat law would have allowed such a young girl to get an abortion in the state.
Oh my God. And again, I'm sorry, but can you imagine if Donald Trump had uttered such a flagrant lie? And can you imagine if he intentionally uttered such a flagrant lie, what the media would have done? And that goes to show that this whole thing, it was orchestrated. And the fact that they can sanitize this bonehead and they can cover up for this guy, I mean, that is a flat-out lie. But lying is in Biden's DNA, isn't it? I mean, he was bagged for plagiarizing in 1988. He's just a flat-out – the man's a liar. He's a liar through and through. Oh, my God. So will the media demand an answer, a retraction from Biden? Will they demand that? Ah, you know? Yeah, another ethics violation by the master of deceit.
You would hope.
Well, don't hold your breath.
I'm not.
I mean, I can't even imagine that this idiot will sit there and say, well, you know, I misspoke, so let me retract. No, it ain't going to happen.
And then Joe Biden was speaking to some Unidos, some Latin group. She goes, Hispanics are as unique as tacos.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And there's nothing racist about that, is there?
Not from her.
Oh, my God.
Latin Hispanics to tacos. I mean, you can't make that up.
No, you can't. You can't make that up. And again, all this feigned outrage about racism, when in fact this guy utters it on a daily basis, and that's excused.
Oh, and then she called bodegas bogadas. B-O-G-A-H, bogadas, instead of bodegas.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I guy sent me a story on this guy that's doing the nuclear spokesman. Have you seen this cross-dressing weirdo?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the guy who does and then that red dress with the mustache and the red lipstick.
Oh, God almighty.
He's in charge of nuclear waste material. I mean, it's dangerous stuff. You can make a pretty nasty, dirty bomb out of that. There's an earlier one where he's dressed in leather with two guys on leashes. He's like a doggy master.
Yes. Oh, my God.
So you've got him in the Biden administration. Then you have Admiral Levine, the cross-dresser.
Yes.
You know, I'm done with the trans word. I will not call a person trans. I call them cross-dressers, male or female.
Yeah, that's what they are, right?
Cross-dressers, yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, Admiral Levine, he's a guy who likes to dress as a woman. And same with whoever that nuclear waste guy. He's a man who likes to dress as a woman.
Oh, my God. That's just – I'm sorry. I just – this. I mean, talk about total disrespect for the United States of America. I just – oh, my God.
Oh. And then you've got the swimmer. He's a guy who dresses as a woman.
Yeah.
But there's not many women who dress as men and do things. Wonder why.
But you know what? That's something we'll never know, because who really gives a crap?
Exactly. I put that in the who gives a crap, who gives a shit department.
Right.
Who gives a crap and go order another taco?
I'll tell you though, what really matters is this. So Sue has trying this horse liniment, and it's more of a, what would you say, it starts with an H, what do they call not the medical doctors, but holistic, you know, type, and a natural remedy. Mm-hmm. And apparently it's helping with healing wounds and helping with, you know, arthritis and all kinds of, you know, other ailments. So she says it. She thinks it's really helping. And that's fantastic.
Huh. So, I mean, and it helps her osteoporosis?
I guess. I mean, that I'll have to ask her about that. But you know, I find it interesting that here we hope we have another issue with what? With just therapeutics, right? I mean, weren't we told about how therapeutics don't work and how this government, you know, every time therapeutics were used for what? Oh, I don't know, for treating, let's just say, COVID.
Mm-hmm.
It was summarily rejected.
Yeah, ivermectin was animal something or another.
Yeah, horse tranquilizers.
Yeah, horse tranquilizers. Oh, they're for animals to stop with parasites in animals. That's what they were.
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
Let's see. So, veterinary liniment gel is good for what ails you.
Yeah. And it's a good healing method. So there you go.
I just looked it up as you were talking about it. It's good for muscle soreness and stiffness release on horses and humans, and it helps you to run faster.
So my money's on horse. My money's on Sue in the second race at Belmont.
Oh, my God. I hope she survives this.
That's really cool,
though. I hope she has a light jockey.
I just think the fact – I'm just fascinated by the fact that she's willing to try it. And I think that's really the coolest thing is that – There are some other actually holistic methods that work outside of, you know, trying to, you know, getting a doctor to cut on you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Hell, I may, that's a good thing. I may get some because I get muscle cramps and put stuff on there. I've never thought about using horse liniment, but I may give that a try. Next time I'm at Tractor Supply, I might pick some up. It's not that it's pretty reasonable.
It's not expensive? Is it really?
No. A bottle is like $13.
Well,
let
me know how.
A smaller one. Yeah.
Well, let me know how that works because, you know, I've been reluctant to try the,
the alfalfa cubes?
No, the marijuana oil there. What do you call it?
CBD?
Yeah, the CBD oil. I'm reluctant to try it, especially if you got to take a pee test. But we have a mutual friend of ours who uses it, and he absolutely swears by it, and it relieves pain. But I think I'd rather try the liniment, the horse liniment, and see if that helps my shoulder and my back. Oh my gosh, I'll try
it.
Yeah,
it couldn't hurt. Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Why not? Yeah, the CBD, I tried it for a while and when my back was hurting and it didn't help me like I thought it would.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
But
that's
just me. You know, I've got friends too, just like your friend, who swear by it and religiously. They don't go a day without CBD and it helps them tremendously. So, everybody's different.
Yeah, I think though it seems like the horse liniment would be more of a natural remedy. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's to me in my mind that's what it is. Yeah, I'll have to try it. Let me know how it works.
The only
problem
is, well, if I get it, I don't know if I'll put it in inventory, but I may give it a try.
Well, I'll nag you.
I just hope that when I go into a bar after using it, someone doesn't say, "Hey, why the long face?" I'll go, "I'm not sad. It's just this horse liniment I've been using."
Well, I'll
I'll tell you what, I'm going to nag you until you do get it. So.
Oh, good one.
Oh, well.
Poor Sue. She's like, God, I'm never telling these idiots anything ever again. These guys are dopes.
I'll tell you
trying
what.
I'm serious here, and all you two guys can do is make jokes and bad ones.
I don't know.
I'm just going to trot on out of here and never talk to you again.
She's trying to saddle her with any type of information, but I know one thing. I'm going to try it. I am. I'm going to try it because I used a different type of pain reliever for my back the other day, like some gel. And I got to say, man, as soon as I put it on, I mean, it was burning. Like you could tell it hit the spots and it just laid on the floor and kind of stretched out. But if the horse liniment does work, man, I'm going to try it.
What caused all the heat and pain?
I just think that, I thought it was 8 days, but I think I played in practice 12 days in a row.
No, I mean, what was the product? What was the product?
Oh, it might have been from
like
a
DMSO people, or something.
No, it was like, it was a roll on, like a Bengay roll on.
Absorbing Junior roll on or something like that.
But it wasn't Absorbing
the Shaq
Junior.
Uses. Yeah,
it was the bio. What was it? Biofreeze. Biofreeze?
Oh, okay.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, doesn't.
Oh, my God.
It worked good? Because Shaq, doesn't Shaq advertise that?
Yeah, I think he does. I think he does.
Yeah. And it worked good, huh?
You know what? As far as it immediately feeling it, yes. That's the first time in a long time that I really felt it. And, oh, my God, it was like – and then the next day when I used it, had the same type of effect, but not as severe. But, oh, my God, did it feel good. Oh. But you know what I did? I broke out my teeter-totter. What is it called?
The inversion table.
The inversion table. I used that on my back, the Biofreeze. And then about 2 hours later, I did the inversion table, and I did it for a longer period of time. And then I did it again the next day. I went to the range. I was there for a couple of hours. I came home, and I did the inversion twice, and I really felt good, finally. I really felt good. So.
Wow. That's a quick recovery. That's
but that was 4 days. Overall, no, three. It was 3 days of. I'm not saying it's not hurting, but it was like, wow, it did do some help. I gotta say.
Wow, that's a good story. 3 days to make the turnaround is pretty good.
So yeah, but I'm gonna try that horse liniment. You said Tractor Supply. I'm gonna have to go up there. Is that where you think it's gonna where you can get it? Tractor Supply?
I would imagine so. They've got all kinds of horse stuff there. Let's see.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm sure they've got it. I think I've seen it there.
Okay.
Who knows? I'm there enough. Yeah.
I got this nagging injury. I heard it's like a horse of a different color, isn't it? How many do you have? How many can I get?
Hey. Maybe it'll help you a little bit.
Oh. That was pretty good.
Not bad.
No, not bad at all.
I'm
all right.
Running out, though. There should be a bunch.
Yeah, I know. I just, I don't know. It's kind of going bareback right now, but I just can't think of anything.
Yeah. Maybe just need a Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah. You're just saddling me with all kinds of thoughts here.
Well, I don't know. Be an Arabian. Yeah, horse.
I got it.
That wasn't very funny.
Mm-mm. No. Yeah, Merrily got it.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
All right. You have a great week.
Thank you. You too. And Sue, you feel better, please, and take care of yourself and as you're battling COVID. So you please please take care.
Yeah, and thank you for the liniment holistic. We're making fun of it, but that's just
because you were making fun of it.
We're idiots, but it's a great idea. I may go pick some up.
Yeah, let me know if you do where you get it. Because I think Friday I'm going to be near a Tractor Supply, and I'll stop in and get some as well.
Yeah, they got a small little bottle, looks like for $6-7.
Oh, ain't bad. Well, my wife got to use it on Mrs. B. She's having some issues, so.
Oh no.
Well,
I hope she feels better.
Yeah, stubborn thing. Yep. So. Just thought about that. Here I'm being selfish and thinking of myself, but I actually should seriously think about, her getting it, helping her out with it. All right.
That's just the kind of guy you are. You're a giver,
I know.
Not a taker.
All right. Well, hey, have a good one. Take care.
You
enjoy.
Too. All right.
I'll talk to you
later.
Thank you for listening to Block Talk Radio.